So, Sydney, what got you interested in this story?
Absolutely. So about a year and a half ago, I was actually writing another article looking at the infrastructure issues in Syracuse. And something that kept popping up over and over again was the issue of lead poisoning. When I found out that this year's Newhouse reporting project was going to be on issues of inequality, the lead poisoning issue in Syracuse seemed like something that was just ripe to sink our teeth into and really explore further. So I was excited to dive into that issue.
When you started to meet with families, you know, what did you hear from them? What struck you most? Some of these families have been dealing with this for years.
Yeah. Oceana Fair, who we're about to hear from, is actually been facing this issue for generations. Her siblings were lead poisoned, and now her grandchildren have been lead poisoned as well. It's something that families are tackling generationally. And what kept striking me is the fact that these families really see this as an issue of tenants' rights. The vast majority of families who are battling lead poisoning are renters, and we're about to hear from Oceana Fair about that issue.
And a lot of times, you got landlords blaming the families. They're saying it's a housekeeping issue. It's not a housekeeping issue when I have chunks of paint peeling all off the outside of my house. That's a issue for the homeowner.
So you mentioned the tenants' rights thing. I mean, why can't they just go to landlords? It seems like it's such a serious health issue. You know, you'd think that they could be forced to remedy.
So part of that was actually addressed in last summer's lead ordinance that we'll hear about in a moment. But part of the issue is also one of finances. It costs about $50,000 to $60,000 to fully remediate the lead from a home, to fully remove it. That can be financially prohibitive, even if a landlord has the best intentions and desires of lead safing a home. Paul Ciavari, who's a community organizer at Legal Services of Central New York, explains how this can really be an issue with the landlords.
Into the inequality of power between tenants and landlords. Tenants are often intimidated by their landlords. In other cities, they have a private right of action to sue the landlord over remediating the house, but that our ordinance doesn't currently provide that.
Your piece touches on the wide-ranging health impacts and how they have larger impacts on society as well.
So I spoke with Dr. Sandra Lane, who's a professor of public health at Syracuse University. She explains that being exposed to lead during your developmental years can actually decrease your executive functioning. This can make you more prone to violent behavior, to sexual promiscuity. Essentially, it's hard to envision the long-term consequences of your behavior. And one of the things Dr. Lane explains is that early interventions, particularly for students in the elementary classroom, can be a really effective way for the long-term impacts of that lead exposure to be managed and mitigated to the best of the abilities of our communities.
And the teachers who are trying to teach the kids to read, I believe it would help them to make a better learning plan for each of the children. For example, because lead makes kids distractible and it makes it harder for them to pay attention, a child who has a history of lead poisoning could be put into a smaller group for reading.
Now, one of the key points of the story is this law that got passed by the city of Syracuse last summer. What's the biggest change in that law? And were you able to find out why it took so long?
So the biggest change that law makes is making lead poisoning a code violation. That means that if the city comes and does an inspection of the home and finds lead in the house, they are able to cite the property as having a violation. Once a property is cited, the city is by far and away more empowered to do something about the issue than if they just see chipping paint or they see dust fragments, but they can't do anything about it.
Maybe finally, Sydney, what other takeaways did you have after doing all this reporting and talking to the different people writing the various pieces on the lead poisoning crisis in Syracuse?
One of the biggest takeaways is that this is really an issue that impacts low-income communities of color, and it impacts those communities in a variety of compounding ways. This is a health issue for communities that are already facing disproportionately harmful health outcomes. This is an education issue for communities that do not have access to high-quality education. This is something that impacts low-income communities of color specifically across a massive breadth of issues, and it's compounding those issues that already exist where they're already experiencing disenfranchisement. And lead poisoning is something that, if tackled, could alleviate stressors across that entire breadth of issues.